Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Story, and now I'm gonna sing in glory just because.
The song is a beautiful reminder of how much He loves us. He loves us so. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? This is Valentine's Week, and we'll hear a lot of people talking about loved ones and loving people. But no greater love was ever expressed to mankind than the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. As He came, gave Himself willingly for you and me, that we might be saved, that we might know what it is to be free from sin and the power of sin. So thanks so much for listening today to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. In case you're listening for the very first time, my name is Lane Lohman. I'm the director of the program, a program that started in 1937 under the leadership of my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman. So thanks again for listening today. I am involved in ministry during the month of February. This weekend, I am at Flintwood Wesleyan Church. We'll be ministering there Sunday morning only. That's February the 9th. And then on February the 10th, Monday, I'm going to be traveling to Kansas City, Missouri for the M25 conference, a conference that will be emphasizing what I am all about and what this ministry is all about, and that's reaching the lost for Jesus. That's February 10, 11, and 12. And then February 16 to 19, I'm going to be traveling to Crowley, Louisiana, to Ebenezer Church of the Nazarene for revival services. And then February the 23rd, just for Sunday morning only, I'll be near home, Burnsville Christian Church in Burnsville, Indiana. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these services and in the conference in Kansas City. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. I pray that you would minister to each person listening to my voice. And I pray the message titled Obsessed with Jesus would challenge us to make Jesus Christ the preeminent one in our lives. Thank you so much for our listening audience, for those who stand by and help us stay on this radio station. I pray that you'd continue to do that. You always have, and I believe you always will through the generosity of the people. So thank you, Father. Be with those who are sick and shut in, those who have special needs. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. As always, we need for you to write to us, send us a letter and a gift to support this program so we can stay on your station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much for praying about that.
Dark. He came seeking to show his heart. He sought to find a way. A rugged cross of perfect love did his speaking. Much more than a million words could say. God so loves me, He truly loves me. No other love is like
the proposition of the message. The scriptural standard for authentic Christianity is the kind of relationship that Jesus had with his Father. That's the kind of relationship that you and I are to have with Jesus. If we could ever get a handle on that kind of intimacy with Jesus, can you imagine the change it would evoke? We would know automatically how we're supposed to live our lives. Look at the passage. Just as the living Father sent me. There's one thing about Jesus of which there was no doubt. He had been sent. You couldn't rub shoulders with Jesus for 5 minutes until you knew exactly what he was all about. He had been sent. He knew what he was doing, where he was going, how he was going to get there. He had this overwhelming sense of destiny about himself, down to a Garden of Gethsemane, praying, not my will, but thine be done. Hanging on a cross, doing not his will. Father, if it could be your will, let this cup pass from me. Not doing his will, but doing his Father's will. He's all wrapped up, mastered by his Father's will. He had been sent. I read through the Gospels. I follow the life of Jesus as recorded by those four men. And over again, as I study his life, I get this overwhelming sense that Jesus, when it came to his Father's will, he was obsessed with it. Obsessed with his Father's will. He's talking our language, you see. We know what it is to be obsessed, don't we? Obsessive compulsive. How often do we hear that describe a person? They're obsessive compulsive. I have a marvelous companion, my wife Gretchen. She was here with me the first time I came to your church. She's a remarkable lady. I walk into the house one day and there she is in her recliner. And the expression on her face tells me something's wrong. I look at her and I say, what's the matter? She responds, well, I don't know. Well, there's something the matter. This is not your usual countenance. It's written on your face. What is the matter? Well, she says, I guess I'm a little depressed. Depressed? You're never depressed. She's one of the most positive women I've ever been around in my life. I say, you've never been depressed. What do you mean depressed? Can I help? What can I do? I don't like to see you in this depressed state. Is there anything I can do? Is there something you want to do? She said, well, I've been thinking about that. I said, well, what? And then she says, well, you know, I think it would help if I could just buy something. Buy something? What? Oh, a dress. I think that would help me. If I could just buy a new dress, get in the car, and we go to Kohl's. And she finds the ladies' department. I find the man chair. This is going to take a while, so I find the man chair, and I watch my wife go to the racks of clothes, and she begins to pull selections off racks of clothes, and then I see her disappear into the dressing area, and every once in a while, she pops out, and she models it. She says, what do you think of this one? Oh, I kind of like that one. Hey, that looks good on you. Then she disappears back into the dressing area, comes out with another one on. What do you think of this one, honey? I like that one. That's a good one, too. It kind of fits your color. I kind of like that one. And then about 50 minutes into this process, I've made up my mind. I don't care what she's got on the next time she comes out. We're getting it. We're going to buy that one. And so when she comes out the next time, I said, oh, that's got Gretchen written all over it. That is yours. That's the one we're going to get. And so we buy the dress. We go out of cold. She's got a dress in hand. She's different. She's no longer depressed. She was obsessed with buying something. Now, that never really happened, but it's a pretty good story, isn't it? I'm a car guy. Been a car guy most all of my life. I was a junior in high school. 1964 and a half Mustang hit the market. My uncle Woody was a car dealer in Greensboro, North Carolina. I went down to the Ford dealership and there it sat, this beautiful 1964 and a half. Although it was badged as a 1965, it actually came out in April, not March, of 1964. I was a junior in high school. And there it was, baby blue with a convertible white top, Mustang. I said, Uncle Woody, I want that car. He said, let's call your dad and see if he'll help you get it. Got on the phone with my dad. I said, hey, Dad, I'm down at the Ford dealership here in Greensboro. I was attending Christian high school at the time. And I said, Dad, I need a car. You know, the car I got, it's not in very good shape. I need a new car, Dad. Dad, could you help me get this car? I really want this car. This is just the kind of car I'd love to have, Dad. And my dad would never come right out and say, oh, no, you can't have that, son. He would spiritualize it. Well, son, I don't think I can really see my way clear to do that just now. And I didn't get the car. 8 years ago, on my 70th birthday, I saw my way clear, and I've got a Mustang today. And it sits in my garage. It only sees sunshine. It doesn't see clouds or snow or rain. I was obsessed. I wanted that Mustang. We know what it feels like to want something until we finally get it. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, that's the way I am. Oh, but it's not about a purchase. It's not about a material thing. It's about my Father's will. I've got to do it. It's who I am. It's accomplishing the will of my Father. Everything I'm doing, everything about me, there's this one overwhelming compassion day in and day out. I've got this drive for one thing, weekdays, weekends, and that one thing is my Father's will. Just as the living Father sent me. And then he connects to the equation. So, the one, that's you, that's me. So, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. What's he saying? As my whole heart beats for the Father, he says to you and me, so your whole heart will beat for me. As I have one driving passion, so you're going to have one driving passion. As my passion is to do his will, your passion will be to do my will. As I am intimately involved in what my Father wants me to do, Jesus says, so now you're going to be intimately involved in what I want you to do. He says, I'll determine your days. I'll determine your nights. I'll determine your lifestyle experience. I'll determine what you do and what you don't do. There will be one driving force in your life, and that will be to do my will, so says Jesus. I'll determine how you act at home. I'll determine how you treat the loved ones in your life. I'll determine how you handle your responsibilities down at the church. He says, you're going to be so obsessed with me that you'll be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Apostle Paul and say, for me to live is Jesus Christ. You say, but Lane, that's so dogmatic. That's just preacher talk, isn't it, Lane? I mean, we're lay people here. Is it supposed to be that intense for us? You're right. It is dogmatic. It is a little intense today. Maybe a little over the top. After all, this is my first revival since the holidays. And I was really anxious to get back at it. And so maybe I'm taking it out on you, and I shouldn't have come on so strongly. I'm sorry. But quite frankly, if what I've tried to describe to you this morning isn't the reality in your life, I can't call you Christian. I can't call you a Christian. And it's not my place to judge anybody here. But by virtue of the scripture and by virtue of fruit born in a person's life, if this is not a reality, like he sought to do his Father's will, and we're seeking to do his will and have him flesh out who he is through us, then I can't call you Christian. Oh, I can call you Wesleyan. I can call you Nazarene. I can call you Methodist. I can call you Pentecostal. I can call you Episcopal. I can call you any number of denominational names, but I can't call you New Testament Christian because we don't believe the Bible teaches this idea of super saint over against lesser saint. I heard a term most all of my Christian life and ministerial life. Well, they're just a nominal Christian. Do you know there's no such thing as a nominal Christian? That doesn't line up with the Word of God. We don't believe in tri-level Christianity. One standard for the teenagers, one standard for the lay people, and then another standard for the people who are called to preach the gospel or the missionary. There's only one standard, and that's all in, 100%. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is a reality, and it's noticeable. You don't have to bring a whole lot to the table to get in on this. But once you do, it is going to demand your time, your energy, your money, your talent, everything. Only one standard, obsessed with him. I have a board of directors in the Lowman Ministries organization. One of my board of directors passed away this past July. His name was Dr. Mark Sarton. He was a dear, dear friend for many, many years. I've known him as long as I've known your pastor. And he had a heart condition, and it finally took his life. He wrote this. Hear his words. No single spirit has hindered the gospel of Christ Jesus and the advance of his church more than the spirit of timidity. It has shut the mouth on testimonies, robbing the unsaved of the good news of Christ. It has shut down family devotions, robbing children a heritage of faith. It has cut the cord of three strands from marriages, leaving husbands and wives without the central presence of God in their marriage. It makes milquetoast out of men who could otherwise be strong and bold men of God, therefore leaving children, wives, and friends without a real man of God in their midst. Timidity has removed the cause of Christ and the power of the Spirit from churches and turned them into social gatherings, palatable neighbors of sin. Timidity has erased the distinction of holiness from Christian living and given rise to a form of grace that washes no one clean. It removes the gifts of the Spirit from practice in believers and in the church, effectively removing their intended God-given potential to build believers and advance the church. So the question to be asked, can you describe your relationship with Jesus as an obsession?
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.